So, yeah. So, Father, we bless your word this morning. We bless your word, God, to run swiftly. We bless your word, God, because it's the revelation of the Holy Spirit. We bless your word, God, because it feeds us, it encourages us, it equips us. It edifies us, God. It builds us up, Lord, onto good works for you. It strengthens us. It keeps us on the right path. It disciplines us. It rebukes us. It corrects us. It blesses us. It helps us to grow. It helps us to bear forth good fruit. So, Lord, we bless your word this morning. We declare, Lord, that your word will run swiftly this morning to the hearts and lives of each one that are online here this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, guys. So, I've been wrestling with Romans 8. Actually, Romans, the book of Romans. So if you want to or would like to turn to Romans 8, that would be amazing. And let's look at a few bits of Romans 8 together. The previous chapters have just been about what it means to be dead to sin, alive to Christ, and the story basically of our freedom and our redemption, and about the two realms, the two laws, which are actually two realms that we're going to be looking at. One is the law of the spirit and one is the law of sin and death. And these are two realms that that we can choose to partner with, and depending on what we partner with, the outcome will be dependent on the flow that comes from that realm. So this morning we're going to look at Romans chapter 8, and I'm just going to read through the parts, basically most of the chapter. So chapter 8, this is in the NIV, life through the spirit. Therefore there is now no condemnation. Why is there a therefore there? Because we have been redeemed from the law of sin and we have been birthed into the law of the spirit. And because of that, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Amen. Amen. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteousness requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Isn't it amazing that the righteous requirement of the law is met already in you when you are rebirthed into the Spirit? The righteous requirement of all the law of sin and death is met in you through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ being made perfect in you. That righteous requirement that people are going to be judged by at the judgment seat of Christ is made complete in you because of the Spirit of God in you. That's so powerful, man. Come on. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. It amazes me that so many people say, oh, I go to church on a Sunday. I was brought up in Sunday school. I'm a good person. I work for charities. I'm a volunteer at this. You know, I've been a good person all my life. The Bible very clearly says that those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot ever please God. No matter what you do, your works are like filthy rags. If you do not know Jesus today, it doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter if you go to church. It doesn't matter if you've been to Sunday school. It doesn't matter if you serve on 20 different charities or volunteer for different things or feed the homeless every day. If you are not born into the law of the Spirit, if you do not know Jesus Christ living in you, you cannot in any shape or form please God. That's the word. That's not me. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. If you're watching this morning and you do not have the Spirit of Christ in you, if you would like to be one that pleases God, if you would like to be one that knows that the Spirit of God dwells in you, then all you have to do this morning is say, Father God, I am sorry for neglecting you. I am sorry for rejecting your Son. Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died for my sins, and I ask you today to forgive me for my sins. I decide today to turn away from sin, and I give my life to you today. Please come in, take up lordship in my life, fill me with your Spirit in Jesus' name, that I may please you, that I may know you in Jesus' name. Amen. But if Christ is in you, verse 10, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. If you've just given your life to Jesus, righteousness lives within you right now. You have eternal life forever. You're part of a kingdom that is growing every day. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who now lives in you. Good news, eh? Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So again, you're only a child of God if you're led by the Spirit of God. So if you're not being led by the Spirit, then you need to make that right, like ASAP, so that you become recognized by God as a child and therefore become entitled to what he has for you as a child and an heir. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And if we are children, then we are heirs. Come on. We are heirs. Heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may share in his glory. So many of us don't want to share in the sufferings of Christ. I was thinking about the sufferings and what that meant. And people think of the sufferings of Christ as the cross. But I believe the sufferings of Christ began the moment he left his Father and the Spirit. You know, he had never been apart from them. And I believe his suffering started that moment that he was birthed into the earth in the form of sinful man, in the form of sinful man, yet sinless. And the things that he walked through, all the things that says that he has been tempted in every way that we're tempted. You know, like he was betrayed, he was disappointed, he was turned against, he was hated, he was despised. You know, all those different things that we struggle with so much. And yet he still chose to pay that price for those that had rejected him. So turning to verse 26, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. In accordance, this blew me. I'll speak about it in a minute. Verse 31, what then shall we say in response to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ himself, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. So who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword or COVID or war. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
We could just finish right there. There
good
is
word,
nothing.
Let's close it down.
Nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. There's nothing that's too big or nothing that's too small. Nothing that can separate you from his love for you. That's the power of Christ in you. That's the power of Christ in you. So I want to speak to you today about the two laws that are at work here. There are two different realms. One is the law of sin and death, which came through Adam, where sin prevailed, and the law was written to uncover sin. So the law in Exodus 20 was given to the people to uncover sin, because up until that point there was no law. Therefore, there was freedom really to do a lot, you know. So God brought the law. The people asked for the law so that they had a standard to live by. So God brought the law, which then, when it says you cannot murder, meant that when someone murdered someone, then they sinned before God. When someone stole, they sinned before God. When someone coveted, that all of a sudden it became a sin. So the law of sin and death uncovers sinfulness in us. And when we're born, when you were born under the law of sin. You were born under the law of sin, which leads to death. And when Jesus came, he brought in a new covenant. He established a new law, which is the law of grace, the law of the Spirit. So when the Spirit of God came, there was a new law that was established where the kingdom of God, the person of God, the person of God himself then came and lived in us, rebirthed a new realm within us, that then brought life to our spirit that was held captive by sin and death. That sin and death was annihilated, like the scripture said, that the righteous requirement of the law would be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh but the spirit. That righteous requirement of the law, that perfection of the law, was made perfect in your life when you gave your life to Jesus Christ. When his Holy Spirit came to live in you, the righteous requirement of the law that was written was made perfect in you, that you're no longer held accountable to that law because you no longer belong to that realm. You have been birthed, rebirthed. It says you're born again of the Spirit. So you're born again into a new realm, the realm of the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's good.
So you're no longer held in that old law system. You have been rebirthed into the law of the Spirit, which is, according to Scripture, the law of life and freedom and peace.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's eternal. That's now and forever. That's not just now. It's like ongoing and it's increasing as we go. So two realms, the law of Spirit, bringing life, freedom to the flesh man, and also the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death, let's look at that first, shall we? The miserable one. Sin and death are in partnership to destroy humanity. Sin and death are in partnership to destroy humanity. When something happens on the earth, when we look at COVID today, it has uncovered sinfulness in man. Man does not want to be told to stay indoors. Man does not want to be told what to do. There's a rebellion that happens because fear has come upon the earth in the form of this deadly virus. And what has happened is we have had protests, we've had deaths, we've had death itself in a huge number throughout the nations. And that is as a result of sin and death in partnership that are working against humanity. So the law of sin and death are partnering to destroy what God has in place that's meant to live and have freedom and peace and joy. The law reveals sin, and sin leads to death. So the law actually, as I said earlier, reveals the sin in your life. Do not covet. Do not murder. Do not steal. Honour the Lord your God with all your heart, soul and strength. If we break that commandment, we've broken them all. It doesn't matter which one you break. When you break one, you break them all. You stand accountable to the law, which leads to death and judgment. When we were living under the law of sin, we were powerless to do what is right and to make good choices because the Spirit of God did not live in us. Therefore, the fruit of the Spirit of God was not available to us to make the choices that were needed for good. There was a powerlessness there because we were slaves to sin. We were in slavery to something that held us bound to always go back to our default, to always mess up, to always fall back on what made us comfortable rather than pressing through for a victory. In verse 3, it says, when we lived by the law of sin, yeah, it made us powerless to make good choices. Verse 5, it says, the mind is set on flesh desires. So when you're subject to the law of sin, your mind is constantly working on self-pleasure. It's breakfast time. I need to feed this flesh. It's lunchtime. I need to feed this flesh. I've had a hard day. I need cake to make this flesh feel good. You know, I've had a fight with my husband. I need a drink of wine to help me calm down. We are constantly in the law of this of sin. You constantly are looking for gratification to satisfy the flesh man that is enslaved to the desires of sin. Yeah. So hope this is making sense. Verse 6, the mind is governed, the mind governed by the flesh produces the fruit of the flesh. What is the fruit of the flesh? Fruit of the flesh is jealousy, bitterness, anger, rage, malice, licentiousness, fornication, sexual immorality, depression, anxiety, mental illness, debt. All those things are the outworking of the law of sin. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It's hostile to God moving in. It stands in that actual word hostile actually is a Greek word, and it means to stand in a state of opposition. To stand in a state of opposition. I'm standing opposed to you right now because actually I'm comfortable the way I am, and I don't need you to come and make me feel guilty for the way I live and the choices that I make. The mind governed by the flesh, in verse 7, does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. It is powerless to submit to God's law. The mind that's governed by the sinful man, the flesh man, is powerless to submit to God's law. Therefore, if you're powerless to submit to God's law and God's ways, then you're also powerless to be able to trust him. Because you're trusting in the gratification of self-sufficiency. Yeah? So you're powerless to submit to God's laws. It says you cannot do so. It's impossible. Nor can you please him. There's nothing that you can do to please him. You cannot earn his pleasure. His pleasure comes in one way, and that is through his son, Jesus Christ. So the law of sin and death is works mainly through our mind, through how we think, how we process. It's something in our mind needs to be renewed. Something in our mind needs to change so that we can make good choices, so that we can go forward, so that we can know God, so that we can actually have ears to hear him, so that we have revelation and understanding. And that's where the law of the Spirit comes in. When we give our lives to Christ, like I said, we're born into the Spirit. It says that you're born again of the Spirit. You're born of water, you're born of Spirit. And so we transfer from the realm of the law of sin, from that realm, that influence, that slavery, You're actually removed from that completely, and you're transferred into, birthed into a whole different realm, a whole different arena, a different place, a different belonging, a different universe. And it's called the law of the spirit. So when we are come under into that realm, we come under new leadership, we come under new authority. And the realm of the spirit has, we then begin to begin to respond to the influence and the influences of the Spirit of God within us. So the Spirit of God has been separated from the Father and the Son for 2,000 years. So like Jesus was here for 30, so the Spirit has been here for all these years, crying out within us, Abba, Abba, come, come, you know, yearning for that intimacy, yearning for that love again, yearning for that closeness, yearning for that oneness again. And yet here he is, he's indwelling us, being the representation of the Father to the world, living in us, making that sacrifice moment by moment, living within us. So we're birthed into that. He is birthed into our spirit, and our spirit awakens. There's something that happens within us that comes alive and awakens, and we are like recreated in that moment into the purpose and the destiny that God spoke over us and dreamt over us before he breathed life into us. Christ became the likeness of sinful flesh in order to disempower the law that governs it. That's what this is how I started this. This is what the Lord said to me. Christ became the likeness of sinful flesh. Why? In order to disempower the law that governs it. What law governs us that we need Christ for? The law of sin. The law of sin. So Christ became the likeness of sinful flesh so that he could disempower it. And that's what he did. So that we could be transformed into the realm of the Spirit, into the realm of his presence, into the realm of his likeness and image again, out of the image of darkness, into the image of his beautiful Son, Jesus Christ. When the Holy Spirit entered your spirit, your body entered a new realm. That was which was unnatural within you became natural. So you became part of another world that was alien to you, that now has become your natural dwelling. It's like moving to a new house, you know, and you get everything in order, and all of a sudden you start to feel at home. And it's like that when you come to Christ. You step into a new realm, the realm of the spirit of life and freedom and peace and joy. And you step into this new house and everything in you changes.
Yeah.
Everything in you changes. And it, not only does your flesh feel the difference, but your mind is the transformation of this thing here that is the key to unlocking everything that's within you. It's the key to walking with the Spirit. It's the key to hearing God and seeing God and being obedient to God. It's the key to ascending into the heavenlies, to see the things in heaven, to see the things that are yet to come. This here is your battleground. This is what has to be subjected to the law of the Spirit, the law of the Spirit. Verse 13 and 14 says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live again in fear. Rather, the Spirit you received brought you your adoption." When we choose to activate Spirit law, we become and are recognized as children of God. So that law of the Spirit, which is life, peace, and freedom, when we activate that in our lives through the Spirit, when that Spirit in us is activated, then we become and are recognized as children of God. That's the only thing that gives us recognition, is being born of the Spirit. Being born of the Spirit. It's not a conscious decision, you know. It's something that happens within us. When we submit ourselves to the Lord, when we submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit, there's a life-giving force that comes within us, an adoption. The adoption is that we get the DNA of God. His Spirit is in you. His Spirit lives in you. You have something new that leads you, guides you, that flows through you. You have a new bloodstream called the royal blood of Jesus. We have an obligation in this. We have to choose to put to death. We have to choose not to step back into the realm of the law of sin. So it is our duty to close the door behind us on the law of sin and not to enter that doorway again, that we can stay in the realm of the spirit. There's only one territory of torture in your life, and it's the mind. And it says, let your mind be renewed daily. Renew the mind. Keep your mind focused on things above, not on what's going on around you. If you look around you and you see what's going on around you, you will become discouraged. You will falter. But when you keep your eyes fixed above, when you keep your eyes fixed on the one that fixes you, then you will remain strong and you will be enabled to trust. This is the torture room, and we need this to be renewed. And it can only be renewed by the Spirit of the Lord in you, crying out, Abba, Father. When we choose to activate spirit law, we become children of God. We step into a realm of adoption. We become heirs. When someone adopts a child, they take on the name, like little Samuel, our little grandson that our daughter and son-in-law have adopted in Cambodia. He's a Cambodian kid. He has natural Cambodian parents, but he has new parents. He's come into a new house. He's come into new rules. He's getting a new name. And when he carries that name, he will then be entitled to the inheritance the same as the other children. He then gets all the blessings. He gets all the same birthdays and Christmases. When he cries, Mommy, Daddy, they come to his rescue. They pick him up. They love him. They feed him. They bath him. They take care of him. They're going to pay for school for him. So he comes into the entitlement of everything that home, that household has in its possession. When you are adopted into the family of God, when you come into this law of the Spirit, into this realm of the Spirit, you then are transferred into a new house, into God's house. And in that house, it says that you become an heir of God with Christ Jesus. You're positioned alongside Jesus Christ as an heir. That's how highly exalted the Lord places you. That's how highly exalted he loves you. That's how much he has yearned for you to become his child. He has a seat there, like waiting for you to sit on. It says we are seated in heavenly places. We rule and reign from heavenly places. We don't rule and reign through the natural eye. We rule and reign through the spirit eyes. We rule and reign from that place where we live, that house that we live in, that inheritance that we flow from. That's where we, the realm of sonship that we have come into. We carry the authority of that name. And we carry the responsibility to carry that name well. Verse 15, 16. The spirit you received does not make you slaves, that you live in fear, but the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Abba, Abba. The spirit you received, pneuma, it never ever refers to the spirit in a depersonalized way. It's always personal. It's always a person. It's always a form. When this word is used, it's always a person. It's never depersonalized. It's a living act of power. So this living act of power that you received, that word received is lambano, which means to make one's own, to take upon oneself, to take up and carry or to associate with. So the spirit that you chose to make your own, to take up and carry and to be associated with, that made you a slave, dulia, that made you a slave, dulia, that put you in bondage. It says bondage to fear. So the spirit that you received that made you a slave to bondage and fear, And bondage is of soul and body that leads inevitably to decay. That is the definition. It's the use of fear to control or destroy to such an extent that a person is unable to trust God. To put you in a place of fear and control to such an extent that you are unable to trust God. Mainly worked through overload and burdens. Fear, dread, or terror that alters the reality of the mind. Fear is a dread or a terror that alters the reality of your mind. So it says here that you did not receive, yeah, a spirit. You did not make, own, take up, carry, associate with, or become a slave to a spirit that put you in bondage, that held you through overload and burden, that brought fear, dread, and terror, that altered the reality of your mind. This is not the spirit that you have given your life to, but you have been adopted. It's huiothesia. And it says to be placed as a son of inheritance with full blessing and rights. You have not received a spirit, a power that brings you as a slave to fear and torment and bondage. But you have been brought into adoption by him, by who? The Spirit of Life.
Yeah.
You've been brought into adoption by the Spirit of Life. And whose voice does he use? Yours. And what does he cry? He cries. That word cry is kratzo, and it means to croak or scream like a raven. To croak or scream like a raven. To shout out loud. To speak with a loud voice. To shriek. So a raven is like, wah! Wah! We hear them every morning. They waken us up and you're like, flipping magpies, flipping ravens. So you have been brought into adoption. You have inheritance. You have blessing. You belong to a different house. You're in that house. And in that house, there's the spirit, this person called the spirit, the pneuma, that of life, not fear, of life, that's living in you, that's shrieking out, crying out, screaming out, who to? Abba, 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 Daddy, Daddy. It's informal, it's personal. It's the cry of the spirit to his father for intimacy, for longing, for a listening ear. And then he says, Father, which is patera, founder of a family, a tribe or a nation. It speaks about him in honor. The word father here refers to God in the place of honor, the place of the creator of all things, therefore the father of all things, his sovereignty, his majesty, his place of rule and reign. So in one place, the spirit in us is going, ah, Abba, Abba, Papa, like a child crying out for the listening ear of his daddy. You know, when your kids come and they're like, Daddy, 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 I've fallen off my bike, Daddy, Daddy, and he's pulling on your trousers, he's pulling on your skirt, and he's like, Daddy, Daddy, Mommy, Mommy. This is the cry of the spirit in you that's going on constantly. Abba, 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 Father, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. And it refers to God as the creator, the father of all. So within you, it says he intercedes for you all the time. So within you, in your spirit, there's this cry that's going out from the Spirit of God that's longing for for union with the Father and with Jesus. This cry, Abba, Abba, Father, I'm crying to you. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Why? Because the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings because he takes on the pain and the hurt and the fear and the compassion of our heart. And he brings all that we are and all that we're feeling up in this cry unto the Lord. Abba, Abba. He cries on your behalf. He shouts on your behalf. He screeches on your behalf. So that, why? So that the ear of the Lord, it says, And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. When we don't know how to pray, the Spirit in you, that Spirit leaps out of you and he cries on your behalf and he brings those petitions to the Lord. And because the Lord understands the mind of the Spirit, not our broken mind, but he understands the mind of the Spirit, that he comes and he listens, because the Spirit and the Father and Jesus are one. And the Lord understands the cry of our heart. Why? Because it's brought to him through the will of the Spirit, in the Spirit, through the will of God. I hope that makes sense. Trials are going to come. You're not alone. You're not orphans. You're not orphans. You're not of the law of sin and death. You have hope, and his name is Jesus. You have hope, his name is Jesus. And his very Spirit screams through your spirit, your voice to his Father for justice, for help, for comfort, and for love. I just find that so powerful, that the Spirit in us cries out to the Father for us. And not only does he cry out to the Father for us, but Jesus, seated at the right hand, is also interceding. We have this double backing of the Spirit of life crying out through us, through our voice, Abba. And you know, the Chaldeans, I find this really interesting. Whereas at the Chaldeans, there was a Greek interpretation added to the word Abba. And it's explained by the fact that by frequent use in prayer of the name, Abba, of his name, the Chaldeans gradually acquired the nature of that name.
Wow.
So as they cried out to Abba, they took on the very nature. Their nature became his nature, and they became like him.
So it's what you behold, you become.
What you behold, you become.
Yeah.
And it's like when we partner with the Spirit of life, we become like the Spirit of life. Who is the Spirit of life? The Spirit of life is Jesus. And who is Jesus in? He is in the Father, and the Father is in him, and they are in us. So when we are crying out, the Spirit cries out through our spirit to the Father, and the Father hears, because he understands the mind of the Spirit, and he comes in to answer our prayers, to meet our needs, to satisfy the desires of our heart, to bring us comfort in times when we're suffering. He says we will suffer like him. We will suffer like him. But it's not to be compared to the glory that we're going to experience. And I believe that in the suffering, we experience the glory. When we look at Stephen, when Stephen was being stoned, he beheld the glory. He beheld the glory. And he was ministered to right in that place of glory, right in that place of pain and anguish and hope, seemingly hopelessness. And in that place, he said, Lord, I'm seeing what I'm coming to. I give you my spirit right now. And the Lord took him home. So it's such a powerful thing to partner with the Spirit of the Lord. Our hope and power are in the law of the Spirit, which is life and peace. The Spirit yearns to be reunited in intimacy with the Father, with Abba. And in the midst of fear, in the midst of uncertainty, when you can't see a way through, literally, if that's you today and you can't see a way through, remember, the Spirit of life yearns to release his cry of intercession on your behalf, calling from within you with groans that we don't even understand. You know, when we get to a place when we just come before the Lord and we're just like, oh, Jesus, Jesus, I don't even know how to pray, God. I don't even know how to pray, God. What's happening is that the Spirit of life is interceding on your behalf. He takes those groans and he brings an interpretation of those groans to the Father's heart, and the Father understands the mind of the Spirit, so he can come, and it calls the presence of the Father in. It calls heaven to come and act on your behalf. There is such glory coming, guys, as we partner more and more with the Holy Spirit. There's such glory coming to us. Every trial has an answer. Every trial has an answer. There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But with the temptation, God will make a way of escape. Verse 26, the Spirit intercedes with groaning. Verse 27, the Father reads the heart of the Spirit concerning us. He reads him like a book, you know. Verse 35 to 39, we have this assurance. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is in you and he calls out through you. He shouts out, he shrieks and he groans to Abba on your behalf. When you can't call for yourself, he is calling for you. It is called intentional love, and nothing can separate you from that. Let me just read those passages again as we close. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. Come on. And by him, we cry. By him we cry. By who? By the Spirit we cry. His voice, him in us, we cry, Abba, Father. There's an action. I practiced this morning in the garden. I was like, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. And you know, I felt the presence of God come in the garden. Because the Spirit in me called to his daddy, and my spirit called to my daddy, and so he came and just Abba, Father, and just that call in partnership, our choice to partner with the Spirit calls in the presence of the Lord. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. That is the moment that you know that you belong to God, when your spirit testifies with the Spirit of the Lord. So, what shall separate us? In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor present nor future, nor any powers, nor heights, nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You live in a realm of supernatural engagement with God. You live in his house. You dwell in his presence. His very being lives in you, and it screams out to keep that connection of intimacy moment by moment. The Spirit is, Lord, Father, let me feel you again. God, let me know your presence again. Why do we want that? Because it's the yearning of the Spirit. The Spirit yearns for that union. So his Spirit and our Spirit is calling us to yearn for that union. Yeah. So like his Spirit keeps us in line with the Father and with Jesus. So today, Lord, I just release that over you today. Lord, that you would know the pleasure of partnership with the Spirit of life, with the law of the Spirit that cries out, Abba, Father, that Spirit that we are not slaves to, but we are children of God, that we are your children, God. And we thank you today that you, Holy Spirit, are partnering with our spirit and we partner with your spirit, that union with heaven is so tight, that union with your house is so tight, that union with your heart is so tight, it calls it in moment by moment. As the Spirit in us yearns to be reunited, that your Spirit in us says, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus. And in Revelation, where it says, the Spirit and the Bride say, come, the Spirit and the Bride say, come, that we cry out, Lord, with your Spirit in us, come, Lord Jesus, come and establish your throne here. Come and establish your kingdom amongst us, God. Come and make preparation for the Father's return through our lives, Jesus. We ask you in Jesus' name, give us more and more awareness of your love and your presence, and that nothing can separate us from you because of the power that dwells within us, crying out daily, Abba, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.